السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. رسالة الشريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. When we look at what's happening today, especially in Gaza, may Allah have mercy upon their condition, a question that arises, and we spoke about this a lot in the beginning, and I feel we need to keep reminding ourselves of this. One question that arises in the minds of many people is, why is Allah allowing this to happen? Why is Allah allowing this to happen? Have you thought of this? This question crossed your mind? Maybe you have heard some people speak about this. Why is Allah allowing this to happen? And what we learn is that the people of Gaza have taught us many important lessons. Many lessons that we thought we knew, but we hadn't learned for X, Y, and Z reasons. And most importantly, the question is, let us look at how are they dealing with it. They're going through it, right? We're not going through it. They are the ones going through it. They are going through a mass genocide. They are going through their houses being demolished. They're going through displacement for the fifth, sixth time. They are going through starvation, no food, no water, no electricity. They have lost family members. They are going around picking up limbs of their children in a bag and then asking, have you seen my son's arm, anybody? Have you seen his leg? I've managed to find all of the pieces. They are living through this, and we need to look at how are they dealing with it. That's my question. How are they dealing with it? Did they turn away from Allah? After facing this genocide, did they turn away from Allah? Now, this is very important, and it relates to every single person sitting here, because I need to reflect on my life. You need to reflect on your life, because you have been through problems in living, haven't you? And we'll continue. The default position of this world is, one day, someone in your family is going to pass away. One day, something upsetting is going to happen. A change will come in your circumstance. Your health will deteriorate. These things are inevitable. How are they dealing with the worst tragedy anyone can ever face? Because we face tragedies, and the way we react is, oh, I'm not feeling too well. I think I shouldn't pray my salah today. Oh, I'm feeling a bit weak. Maybe I don't need to fast. I'm not feeling too well. Maybe I don't need to attend. I don't need to do this. They are facing the worst tragedy. Let us look at how they reacted to it. Number one question is, did they turn away from Allah, or rather, did they go more towards Allah first? And what are we seeing now? What we are seeing right now is quite interesting, actually. You know, Iman is something normally you can't see because it's in the heart. We're actually live seeing their Iman being played out. We're actually witnessing it. And many of us complain of maybe losing a job, of having marriage problems, for example, health conditions, for example. And the way it impacts us, it impacts our Iman as well. Our Iman gets impacted. The way we respond to our religious obligations gets impacted. But when we look at the people, this is being played out live in front of our eyes, who are facing the worst tragedy in human history that we are aware of and that we've ever seen. We find that despite going through a genocide, losing family members, collecting pieces of their children in bags, the way they are reacting to this, these are things that we used to read in the stories of the prophets. These are things that we used to read in the stories of the Sahaba. It's almost unreal, isn't it? For you and me to see this and think, how? It's been more than 200 days. And they continue. By now, I mean, we have a little headache and we put our hands up. That's it. I'm not doing it. Okay, we have a little toothache. Someone says something to me. I don't want to do it anymore. We put our hands up. This is how you and me, we become so fragile, like a glass bottle. And the world and the way it's going right now, it's creating us into these kind of really fragile creatures. You can't say anything to anyone. You can't do anything to anyone. You shouldn't even look at anyone in a certain way. Oh, you don't know how I feel. The people of Gaza have lost everything. And it has not deterred them. It has not made them change their path. Instead, there is one line you will hear them saying. What is it that they say? They continue to say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. As long as we have Allah, yes, we have lost. They are humans. They do feel the pain. They are hurting. They are in pain. But now, where do they get this perspective from? They have this inner perspective. They're able to transcend their suffering. Why? Because they have a deeper understanding. And they know that if you have Allah, even though you might lose a lot, you haven't lost anything really. Materialistically, yes. But in the sight of Allah, no. And they believe in this. We read about this, we say it, but they actually believe in it. And when we study their lives and we see why, where do they get this power from? How are they able? They are humans, we are humans as well. How are they able to resist such tragedy, such a genocide, and carry on the next day? And you and I, we face a small difficulty and we break down. We get stuck. We don't want to do it anymore. We say, I can't do it anymore. I can't last anymore. Yet they are faced. How do they do it? Where are they getting their strength from? And one thing we learn is they derive their strength from the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the same Quran. We have the same ayat. It's about developing the same level of understanding and connecting ourselves with the Quran, which will allow us to also resist in the face of suffering and difficulty. Suffering and difficulty in life is inevitable. We cannot avert it. That's the natural disposition of this world. We are in this world, we're going to face difficulties. Rather than me taking lessons from these Westerners who are just good at writing, who are good at lecturing people, who are good at making policies, they don't know what, you know what suffering is? I'd rather learn it from people who I can see live in front of me. This is not reading a self-help book. Going to a bookshop and picking up a book and thinking, this book's going to sort my whole life out. Because I'm going to do some of these practices in the morning and the evening. And that's it. I'm going to be sorted. Instead, I will learn directly from those people. I can see them acting it out. That they have faced the worst tragedy. And they still... Did you see them? During Ramadan, right? You and I, we face a tragedy. Is there a ruling? There are some people, is there some ruling like I don't need to pray in this circumstance? Can I miss my fast? Can I not do this? Can I not do that? We're looking for loopholes all the time. No food, no water, no electricity, no house, no family. Yet in the month of Ramadan, the people of Gaza fasted. They were fasting. Did you see one fatwa going around saying, oh, the people of Gaza are asking a fatwa, can we be excused from fasting because we don't need to explain our situation if the world can see. No, they fasted. They fasted. Well, how do we know? You're going to say, how do you know? Well, how do we not know? Alhamdulillah, through the technology and the social media that we have, 24/7, everything is live streamed. You can see them having suhoor on absolutely nothing. And then breaking their fast. Not only that, they stood in Taraweeh. We saw it. There is no masjid. We complain. Oh, it's too hot. Go to this side. It's too cold. Go to this side. Oh, I'm not going to pray because someone put the fan on. Someone opened the window. I'm not praying here. No masjid. Masjid is broken. It's demolished. What air conditioning? What carpet? Who said something to you? They were praying. And this is where we learn. Why? Why? What is it that allows them to continue? Despite this, and this is what is changing the lives of thousands and thousands of non-Muslims. Because they are also, how many people have accepted Islam just by seeing their resistance? Just by seeing how persevering they are on Islam, on their deen. Because at the end of the day, everyone, they're humans also. They're saying, they can see that they're going through tragedy and difficulty. We all know how it is to lose a child and to lose everyone in your house. What is it that gives them this? They want to know. We also want that because they know that we are also going to face difficulties. We are also facing difficulties. We also want to overcome our difficulties like they are overcoming the worst difficulty anybody has ever seen. Allah knows best, but I think maybe in our lifetime, we may never even see 5% of the tragedy that they are witnessing and they are seeing. But if we can take 5% from their lessons that they are giving us, I think we'll be able to overcome the small things that we are going through. Now, let me give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Quran. This is where they get their strength from. Why? You know the Quran, what it does? The Quran allows you to give a different meaning. Do you know something that happens in your life? You face a tragedy, you face a problem, a pain, a difficulty, a loss. You and I give it a meaning. Oh, this happened because of this. Or this is what this means. This means I'm a loser. Or I'm never going to do this again. Or Allah's not happy with me. Or I'm a bad person. Or this happened because of this. We give it a meaning. The Quran comes to tell you that the meaning that you're giving to your life's problems is not accurate. That's not what it means. The meaning must be in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Quran does. The Quran comes to give you this guidance. And I'm going to give you an example. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you know, he was rahmatan lil alameen. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for the whole of mankind. Imagine how merciful he was towards his own children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, later on in life, he was granted a son and his name was Ibrahim. He named him after Ibrahim alayhi salam. How much love do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for this son? Can you compare it to the love we have for our children? Our love's like partial anyway. Because we love our beloved people. A lot of times it's because of what we want. Right? We love them the way we want to love them. Not the way they want to be loved. So this kind of like, it's a partial love. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love, we know he was a messenger of Allah. Imagine how intense that love was for his own son, Ibrahim, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It's unimaginable how much he loved him. Now what happens in infancy at a very young age, probably even under the age of 2, he loses his own son, Ibrahim, like he lost other sons as well. Imagine, the greater the love, the greater the pain of the loss as well. Imagine how hurt he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how much pain he experienced, how sad he was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he lose his son, the people around him started calling him names and started addressing him by calling him and saying, "You are now Abtar." Abtar is an animal which has its tail cut off. The people in Mecca started calling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Abtar, meaning you have no progeny now. Because they assumed that the progeny, and it does generally, continues from the son. Meaning, you're finished. You're finished. We've cut you off. You've been cut off. You're not going to have any more children. No one's going to believe in you. No one's going to follow in your message. You're a cut off person. You're just going to last for a few more days. This is how the people of Mecca started addressing him. And this is what generally, this is the kind of meaning you and I give to the problems that we face. That, oh no, what's going to happen now? And this is why you and I need the Quran. And this is why the ulama mentioned on this occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals some verses of the Quran. He didn't reveal in the Quran, "Oh Muhammad, I'm so sorry for what happened." The Quran didn't come down and say, "Time is a healer. Just give it some time and you'll feel better afterwards." The Quran didn't come down and say, "Don't worry, you're going to meet him in paradise." The Quran didn't come and say that. The Quran gives meaning to our life's problems in a way that we don't normally give meaning to it. And Quran tells us the meaning you should be giving is the one Allah gives. Maybe the meaning you're giving to your life's problems is not accurate. Quran gives you a different perspective. Quran allows you to reframe that change. That's not what it means. It means something else. You know what Allah revealed? Allah revealed, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar." Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's happened? There's been a loss. He's lost. He's lost a child. And Allah is saying, we have given you abundance. We've given you loads. We've given you kawthar. Meaning, as a Muslim, you're never in loss. Why? Because you recognize everything you have is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we have. What does that mean? It means, if for example, I was to say, Iqbal bhai, if I was to give you, for example, brother Iqbal, £1 million tomorrow morning, would you be happy? He's smiling already. Can you see the impact of it? Like, he's already happy. It's not even real. I'm giving an example. How would you feel? Excited, right? That's the best word you could think of. Of course you'll be excited. I'll give you £1 million. You'll be excited. You'll be over the moon, right? And at the same time, yes, we're excited. We're overjoyed. Let me ask you a question. Okay, I'll give you £1 million. You didn't let me finish, though. In exchange for your eyesight, would you give it? You wouldn't. So every day when we wake up in the morning and we open our eyes, are we as excited as £1 million? Are we? We're not. Because we don't realize. This is the Quranic reframing. Because the Quran is telling you and me, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are to try and count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to count them. For each heartbeat you have had, can you say Alhamdulillah for every heartbeat? First of all, in the first beginning part of our life, we didn't have a clue how many heartbeats we've had. And if we were to try and keep up with that, just every heartbeat, nothing else. Basically, what the Quran is telling you and me, everything beyond the first heartbeat is a blessing. We are living in the blessings of Allah. And in reality, we didn't deserve any of this. This is who we are. When you recognize who Allah is and how Allah works, this is what the Quran is telling you and me. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You had a son. That son wasn't yours to begin with. It was mine. You didn't, like, I gave you that son. When you are in a state of gratitude, true gratitude, that you believe, this is what the Quran invites you. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Do we actually believe? Not just believe, just by saying it. Do we actually believe that I am so blessed, so blessed, so blessed, Allah has given me so much that I don't have the words to express. I will never be able to thank Him. Do we walk around like that? Do I wake up in the morning thinking that? Because and this is what we can see in the people of Gaza. This is why they're able to respond the way they are responding. That yes, we've lost everything, but it wasn't ours to begin with. And if Allah's putting us through this, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. And then action. You can't just talk about it. You can't change just intellectually, thinking, okay, I'll hear a talk. No, it needs action. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's gone through a huge loss. He's being told, pray. Sacrifice even more. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. You're not abtar, by the way. It's your enemy that's abtar. They're trying to obliterate you, wipe you off the surface of the earth, try and take away Islam. No. They are the ones that will be wiped away. Don't believe what they're saying. Don't allow them to influence you. You carry on what you're doing. Rather, sacrifice even more. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's showing us how to change and reframe the way we see suffering in our lives. And similarly, we know that a person that has suffered the most in this world, imagine a person who has suffered the most. Who would you say has suffered the most in this world? Imagine someone from Gaza who has suffered the most in this world. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if this person was to be dipped into Jannah, into paradise, just for 1 second, and then taken out, and then Allah will ask, have you ever experienced any level of suffering, difficulty in your life? This person will say, wallahi, no. I did not experience any suffering. Do you know there's a guy in Gaza, I don't know, you might have seen the video. A person has lost every single family member. Everybody. Mother, father, children, wife, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, grandparents, relatives. Everyone's dead except for him. Do you know what he did? When he found out that everybody in his life, everybody he knew, everybody related to him, everyone close to him has been taken away from him, he is distributing sweets in the streets of Gaza to the people. He's rejoicing, going round, and people are saying, are you crazy? Are you mad? What's happened? He says, no. I am rejoicing. Why? Because I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them all martyrs. They are all in Jannah. They are all in Jannatul Firdaus. Isn't that what we strive for in this world? Isn't this the greatest criterion of success? Quran says, who is the successful one? فَمَنْ زُهْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. Quran says this. We need to live the life of Quran. What does the Quran say? Whoever is saved from the hellfire and entered into paradise, this person is going to be in Jannah. This person has attained salvation. This is true success. We measure success on the parameters of this world. The people of Gaza have taught us a lesson that frame your suffering through the verses of the Quran. Understand that if you're with Allah, then you have lost nothing. And without Allah, you have lost everything. Believing in the promises of the Quran. And this is what you and I need. We need to increase our beliefs in the promise of the Quran. Allah will never let the believers down. Do we believe this? Allah will never let the believers down. Allah is with Palestine. Allah is with the people of Gaza. Allah is with every believer. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu wa kana haqqan alayna nasrul mu'minin. Allah says, this is my right, my responsibility, my promise. I will always support the believers wherever they are. Wa kana haqqan alayna nasrul mu'minin. We must believe in the promises of Allah. The people of Gaza, they are displaying their iman. 24/7 what you are seeing, you are witnessing their iman. If it was you and I, we would have given up already. This is a time for us to step up and connect ourselves more with the Quran and increase in actions. Increase in what do you know why we don't have actions? Because we don't believe in the way we are supposed to believe. Increase in belief, number one, and that should drive us to pray more, develop our relationship with Allah even more. If we're not praying 5 times a day, now we need to look at what's happening around us, build our iman, and think, do you know what? I need to step up now, I need to change. I need to change. This is true iman. This is true faith. These are the true people that have found the true peace and the success. They could have had what they wanted. They could have been funded by different governments to leave Gaza and live anywhere else in the world. Why did they choose to remain? Because they understood the truth. And that is, if you have Allah, you have everything. If you don't have Allah, you have nothing. So it's a time for us to understand that increase in our ibadah, increase in our dhikr, increase in our generosity, increase in our sadaqah, increase in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you and me an example of how to resist evil and suffering in this world. You know, this is an opportunity that we must grasp with two hands. Yes, it's horrific what's happening. It's devastating what's happening. And we pray Allah brings about peace. And may Allah alleviate their suffering. But at the same time, it's giving you and me an opportunity to visually see when you face suffering in your life, how can you transcend that suffering? And that is by connecting to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by connecting to the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I said, many people are accepting Islam. Why? Because they're saying that we're going to face problems in our life. It's inevitable. My parents are going to pass away. My children will leave. People around me are going to die. I'm going to go through ups and downs in my life. I want to be able to deal with my problems the way the people of Gaza are dealing with their problems. I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to just give up and become paralyzed because I've faced a block in my life. I don't want it to be a block. And I want to learn from those people who are standing in the face of the greatest genocide that we've ever witnessed and still able to see the next day, still fast in the month of Ramadan, still stand for 5 times Salah. If they can pray 5 times a day without any food, without any water, without any electricity, lost so many members. Oh, I'm not feeling it today. This is what we do. Oh, I'm not feeling it today. It's all right. Yeah, you guys pray. I'm not feeling it today. What do you mean you're not feeling it today? Imagine what the people are feeling who have lost every single child they've given birth to. Every member of their community that they know has gone. Every student in that child's class has been killed mercilessly. No food. What breakfast? What lunch? What dinner? What after party? And despite that, they are able to continue and pray and worship Allah. They understood the truth. The truth has penetrated in their hearts. Quran speaks about this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you an understanding, He creates inshirah in your heart. He opens it up and you're given an understanding. And this understanding comes from the Quran. So number one, let us connect to the Quran. Believe in the promises of Allah. And number two, wherever you are in your relationship with Allah, today is the day that you promise you're going to build on that. You're not going to stay stuck now. If you feel you're stuck, use their life as an example. How are they able to move past the greatest tragedy? Learn from them, resistance. And from today, inshallah, we're going to build, inshallah, slowly. Don't compare yourself. You're on your own journey. You're on your own journey. Start moving forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.